What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to our latest episode of our 9 a.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Try to sit down for a moment. Don't know how long that's going to work. I'm pretty excited right now. But I'm going to sit down with you guys this morning and try and deliver this word. I really want you guys to catch this. God is flipping the script. That is such a word right now for somebody. See, I love it when God flips the script. Because you really don't have nothing to do with it. And but you staying in the game helps him flip the script. Not you didn't give the Lord muscle or permission. But you staying in the game gave God an opportunity to get the glory from flipping the script. You didn't give up. I know. Giving up to man is totally different than giving up to God. See, for us, if we have low moments, to some people we gave up. But to God, you have a contrite heart. You are being humbled. You are in a place where he can now move and work on your behalf because you're out the way. He said, when you are weak, he is what? Strong. And so what you have to understand, man, I don't know who that's for. It's for me. I'm going to take it. The Lord is flipping the script. Say that. The Lord is flipping the script. He is flipping the script on your behalf. Here's the scripture to back it up. He's working everything together for my good. He's working it all together for my good. Here's another one. What the enemy meant for evil, he's turning it around for my good. Let patience have its what? Perfect work. Faith is on trial, but in the end, the Bible says, you shall lack what? Nothing. So he's flipping the script. He is flipping the script. I was wondering, I was like, man, why are we going to flip the cameras around today? Why are we going to flip the cameras around the team? I told the team, it was like, man, we had options. We're going to go to the house. We're going to go to the hub. He's like, nah, I feel like we got to be in God's house. And most people, I would say 100% of the people experience LoveQuest facing the wall. Except the worship team. Except myself. We never face this way. But in a more valuable way for you today, I believe the Lord is flipping the script. Why? Think about the limitations of looking at the wall and think about what has opened up visually for us when we flip the camera around. To where the worship team could only right now, when they were up on the stage, they could only go backwards, maybe a little forward. But now, I don't know, between today and tonight, I might walk on these pews. You might see me run around the sanctuary. You might see me run up in the balcony. I don't know what we're going to do. But he is flipping the script. He's enlarging our territory. He's giving us more options. Don't worry about your limitations right now because your limitations now is heading to more options in the future. Say more options in Jesus' name. Give me more options, more streams of revenue, more streams of resources, more opportunities to get out when my back is against the wall. Say more options. He is flipping the script. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. For you're a good, good Father. Before I get this word, just have a moment with yourself. And I want you to just close your eyes right where you are. you're good. Abba, Father, you're good. You're good. Yeah. You may have been going through the year wondering, why God, why me, why this, why that? I want you to feel the power in this moment as you're, every time you're saying good, you're good, God. You're just good. I want you to see the camera that has been on your life turning. The Lord's about to give you different views. He's about to elevate you. He's about to take you out into the horizon. He's about to take you from your desert to your oasis. He's about to take you to your dry place, from your dry place to your deep water place. You are faithful in all your ways, Lord God. God, because you're good, I'm good. Tell yourself, I'm good. I'm good. All right. Let me hop into this word this morning. Put masquerade on pause. I just want to share something that I feel is on my heart. That I really believe is very important today. I don't know about next Sunday. I don't know about last Sunday. But today, I believe this is very important. This is a word very important for us today. And the title of today's message is called Cross-Eyed. Now, you know, when I was a little kid, Michael, you know, you run into somebody that was cross-eyed. The last thing you wanted to do is have him come talk to you or her come talk to you. Because as a kid, what you gonna do? You gonna laugh because it's always like, is he talking to me? Is he talking? And you see, who is it? Nene, Wanda, and Martin in Living Color. You know, when you want to make a real funny face, oftentimes you make that cross-eyed. Because I've seen Michael make that many times. But when we're thinking cross-eyed, we're thinking of eyes that are wandering. We're thinking of eyes that are drifting. We're thinking of eyes that are not, that can't focus on the object. Say the object. I remember Paul saying, I press toward the high calling. I press toward the high object. I'm very focused. I'm fixed. I'm pressing from the past into the future. And when I think of cross-eyed, I think of a person who was born in such a way or has been affected in such a way, been impacted in such a way that they can't see straight. They see straight. And as much as that person is trying to hold a conversation with you, they're not seeing you straight. Shikabah. I need all you. Y'all better listen. Ain't nobody going. Y'all better. If you, no matter how much they are talking to you, they can't see you straight. I don't know about you, but I've talked to God many times in my years, but no matter how much I have prayed, it felt like I couldn't see him straight. I couldn't stay focused on him, Effie. I couldn't remain fixed on him. It was something that was always getting in my contact lenses. It was something that was fogging up my glasses. It was something that was on my windshield of life. It was something in the tailpipe of my life that had me not being able to fix my eyes on him. Therefore, my perfect peace was robbed. And I don't know if it's you. I don't know how many people this year, 2020, even faithful, faith-filled real spirit-filled folks get a little pop-on sometimes. Get a little cross-eyed sometimes, even if it's once in a week or once in a while. Man, I don't know about you, but this year there's times where I know I'm talking to God, but sometimes my eyes is on the pandemic. I know I'm talking to God. I know I'm talking to God, but I see my eyes on that little bad thing over there. Come on, fellas. I see you on there. I know some of y'all that's on there. Don't hide now. Pop them emojis up. If it's you, if the Lord has busted you in this moment, don't say caught. Don't say caught. You're trying to focus on Jesus, but you got your eyes on swim time, on little thing over there. You focused on Jesus. You praying and you fasting, but you got your eyes on a possible husband, a possible job, a possible. No matter how much we are focused or trying to talk to God, praying to God, speaking to God, fasting, there's something that come in our life. There's that fly on the windshield. There's that little bit of fog that's causing us to not be able to see clear. Jesus died for clarity. Don't you dare settle for one eye open. Don't you dare settle being cock-eyed and just be like, I'm cool. No, you ain't cool. Fix your eyes straight on him and he shall give you what? Perfect peace. So on one hand, when you cross eyes and distract it, that's the flesh. But boy, when you cross eyes and focus, that's your eyes on Jesus. You got two options to be cross-eyed. You can be distracted. You can be drifting. You can be wavering. You can be tossed to and fro. You can allow the pandemic to cause you to get drunk in worry and anxiety and depression. Or you can fix your eyes on the cross and allow the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to bring this shalom upon your life, that wholeness, that nothingness, and that nothing broken, that power that transcends all understanding. See, a part of what makes you cock-eyed, cross-eyed, in the flesh is because you just can't, you have to understand. Yeah, no, listen, you're trying to understand everything. But this peace that the blood has purchased transcends understanding. Therefore, it means there's things that you are not going to understand, which means you're going to have to come at peace with in order to walk with peace. Come at peace with to walk with peace. You're not going to understand it all. You're not going to get it. You're not going to intellectualize the divine. You're not going to have a philosophical debate and then finally have a moment, okay. No, God means what he says. He says what he means, and he is faithful over his word to assure that his word comes to pass. He is faithful over his word, not over your philosophy, not over your wandering. Get your eyes focused. Bring it back. Tell your neighbor, bring it back. Today's topic is cross-eyed, the fight for peace. The fight for peace. Who told you, Michael, that you wasn't going to have to fight for your peace? Let me make one thing clear. Jesus bled and died for this peace. You ready for this? Jesus bled and died for this peace. But. You have to fight the good fight of faith to walk in this peace. Listen, you don't have to fight for it to be given. You have to fight to experience it. There's nothing you can do to purchase the peace. But the good fight of faith causes you to experience this peace. Can I get an amen or a woo woo or something while I take a sip of this water? Let me go get my water seat. There you go, Kevin. And Kevin. I got two people sitting next to me. Isaiah 26. Perfect, absolute peace. Perfect and absolute peace. Perfect and absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with it. Wow. Let me go on. Can I make myself at home right now? Yeah, I'm gonna do this. Because I'm getting a little hot in here. And I'm going to obey Nelly just a little bit. Just a little bit. Not all the way, Nelly. I can't do that. Perfect and absolute peace surrounds those. Surrounds those. You're surrounding me with a melody. Wow. A deliverance from my enemies. Man, I love a God that surrounds me. He's not just covering one side of me, half of me, three-fourths of me. My God surrounds me. There's no penetrable spot in His surrounding me. There's no way in. There's no way out. There's no way on top. You can't cut a hole in it. I am surrounded. I am surrounded by the arms of the what? Father. Look, perfect and absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. Guess what the enemy is after? Your imagination. He wants you imagining if you're going to be broke. He wants you imagining you may not be able to pay the rent. He wants you to imagine, although you only have symptoms and signs of sickness, he wants you to imagine yourself sick. He wants you to imagine yourself dead. He wants you worrying. He wants you imagining yourself alone and what it may be like. He is trying to capture your imagination. Your imagination is the greatest real estate of your mind. Stop selling your imagination for cheap. That's why it's very important. Who owns your eyes? Job says, I make covenant with my eyes. Who owns your ears? The Lord says, be careful what you are listening to, giving repetition to. Be careful of how long you listen to this. It wasn't that Eve was tempted by the enemy one time. It was Eve got in a conversation with the enemy. Can I preach to somebody? It was the Eve got in a conversation. You don't go back and forth with the devil. Because what he's trying to do is gain ground on your imagination, your mind. Some of us have been talking to the enemy too many conversations. Some of us have been entertaining the works of our flesh for too long. And guess what that's called us? It's caused us to be cross-eyed. Instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, instead of listening to the Word of God, instead of opening our mail when we go home during the week, we are getting in conversations with our flesh. We're getting in conversations with Dr. Bonnie. We're getting in conversations with the media, social media. We're more up on the latest trends of culture. More of us saw Nate Robinson get knocked out last night than we heard what God had to say about our situation today. Says that our imagination, perfect and absolute peace, surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. God, all I can do is think of you when I wake up. My mind being flooded with Jesus does not mean my mind does not have thoughts of doubt or anything that I may worry about. But because my mind is flooded with Jesus, my doubts, worries, and concerns are consumed by my flood of thoughts with Jesus. See, it doesn't mean that there's no trash in the river. But the trash cannot stay in a location because the flood is causing the trash to continue moving down the stream. And then before you know it, it finds its way in a bigger body of water. And before you know it, it's consumed. The Lord is not asking you to fight the trash. He's asking you to fight entering His rest and consume your mind with His goodness and His mercy. That's why we worship how we worship. We throw our hands up how we throw our hands up. We cry out, Abba Father, how we cry out, Abba Father, because my praise and my worship doesn't mean I'm not going through something up here in my medulla. It just means I am turning the water on. I'm letting in the life of living water to take away the trash that's in my mind. I can't allow the trash to consume me. I can't allow the trash in my mind to be a trash can. And before you know it, you're going to have a whole thing. You can never have to take the trash out if you don't let the trash in. See, the thing is we just let Monday trash. And we don't dump our trash out at the end of the day. We just go to bed with trash on our mind. And guess what? We wake up with what? Trash on our mind. And guess what? The enemy feeds off the trash that's in the bin. And guess what? The trash don't decrease. It just goes what? Up and up and up. Up and up and up. And then Tuesday, before you know it, you got a quarter trash can full of what? Trash. And then guess what happens Wednesday? You got trash. And you want God to take the trash out. That's not His job. That's your mouth's job. I didn't say that's your mama's job. I said that's your mouth's job. That's your praise job. You want God to take the trash out, but He put His word on your mouth for you to speak it. Life and death is in the power of the what? Tongue. You have the ability to remove the trash. The weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but they're mighty through the what? Pulling down. Taking everything that rises itself up against the Word of God, carrying it captive. You can't continue to feed the trash by speaking trash. You get rid of the trash by speaking life. It says, perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. This is not a wavering confidence. Verse 4 says, yes, trust in the Lord Yahweh forever and ever. For Yah, the Lord God, is your rock of what? Ages. I love how He's the rock of ages, because it means He's not just the rock of today. He's not just the rock of this week. He's not just the rock of age one, age two. He is the rock of what? Ages, generations. And that was verse 4, and I want to go back to verse 2. Open the gates and let a righteous, faith-filled people enter in. song says, open the gates and let the righteous, faith-filled people enter in. Faith what? Filled. So I come in faith what? Filled. You ready for this? I enter the battle faith filled. Woo! Woo! Because when I enter the battle faith filled, I go through it faith filled. When I enter the battle faith filled, I go through it faith filled. I'm going to say it one more time for your mind in Jesus' name. When I enter the battle faith filled, I go through the battle faith what? Filled. When you are frozen in battle, what should come out of you, what should spill out of you is what? Faith. That's why you ask, Lord, fill me up till I what? Overflow. And you want him to fill you so he can what? Fill you. Relationship here. He will feel you and you will feel him. He will feel you so you can feel him. The only reason he's feeling you is so you can feel him. If you're not going to feel him, stop asking him to feel you. And it is for you to feel him. This is why it's important for you to be filled with him. It's because he can handle your battle. He can handle your dark places. He can handle obscurity. He said, don't fill me in your obscure spot. Don't fill me in the midst of your mess. Don't fill me in the midst of your divorce. Don't fill me in the midst of hectic in your household, in the midst of your poverty, in the midst of your confusion. Fill me. Watch what I do. Watch what I do when you fill me. But the only way you can fill me is if you allow me to what? Fill you. The Amplified says this in Isaiah 26:3. You will guard him and keep him in perfect, constant peace, whose mind, both inclination and its character, is stayed on you. How does your character stay on him? No matter how many people have to fool around you, no matter how much persecution come your way, no matter what the enemy may say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, your character raises a godly standard. You respond. What spills out of you under pressure is the fruit of the Spirit. And when you allow the fruit of the Spirit to spill out of you, guess what one of the fruit of the Spirit is? Peace. You will guard. You will guard. This peace guards you when you can't guard yourself. When you vulnerable, when you weak, when people taking advantage of you, when your body is sick, there is peace that is doctoring you. I don't know about you, man, but there's sometimes you can't take care of yourself. You can't open your mouth. You try to talk in tongues while you sit in front of me. You can't do it. But every what I realized, what I learned from my grandma, what I've learned from the old time saints, it is the work that I do before the battle that causes God to fight within me for me. When I can't lift my hands in battle, the Lord is holding them up for me. It's not so much of my physical arm, as much as it's my inner man arm being raised up. How many people on Sunday lift up their arms and worship, but throughout the week they inner man walking down with the shoulders like this? You got to feel yourself up. That's why when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will raise He will. I might be getting attacked and the enemy wrap my hands behind my back, but He will raise up a standard in me. I may not be able to lift my hands, but I got a rock for you. I got a stump in my feet. My spirit is bubbling over. It ain't nothing you can hold me down with, because there's such, it's too late. You should have stopped me at the pump. You should have stopped me at the pump, Michael. You should have stopped me at the pump. You should have stopped me before I pushed the gas pump inside the thing to fill me up. It's too late. I got too much praise on my time card, man. I got too much praise on my time card. Got too much prayer. I got too much fasting on my time card. So when the enemy is over there punching you in the head, he is silly, because you got the word coming behind his back about to smack him upside the head. I got a legion of angel armies fighting for me. 10,000 strong. I may be down, but I'm not out. I may be stuck, lost for words in this season, but I'm not out. My physical lips may not be able to speak, but boy, is my inner man fighting for me, throwing blows. If you could see what I look like in the third heaven right now, boy, you would second guess yourself. Say, because He commits Himself to you, that person leans on you. That person hopes confidently in you. Do you see, this peace is not something you're working for. This peace is already something that has been purchased. And you experience this peace when you live a life in the Prince of Peace. There is no more, you ready for this? You ready for this? You ready for this? There is no more peace in the battle than there was before the battle. I see all these seats. I see people from the front to the back in the balcony. I'm telling you, this house shall be filled. This house shall be filled. We're going to have some church in this spot, boys. I'm telling you, there is no more peace in the battle than there was before the battle. Stay loud on that one for a second. I'm not going to even move past that one until y'all put some comments or something. I don't know what you're going to do, but you got to see this. There is no more peace, Michael, in the battle than there was before the battle, Bernadette. This is why it's very dangerous to go in the battle looking for peace. This is why it's very dangerous going in the battle trying to fast for the first time. God will take it, and it will work. But depending on the depth of the battle, understand. Oh, my God. I hope y'all still able to see me right now. Why it's very dangerous to magnify your problems. Because when a real big situation hits, it will probably take you out, because you made a smaller one as big as the major one. Which means you're training improperly. Each battle, each season you go through, is to develop you for the next. Right? You don't get stronger by lifting the heaviest weight first. But what you do when you magnify, I don't make enough money. They don't want to be with me no more. My job made me move into a different department. They talking about me. All these little things. Oh my God, they didn't give me that deal on the phone like they gave the other person. Oh my God, I won't stay. Oh my, the stuff that we get irritated about, the stuff that we complain about, the stuff that we magnify, we're making it more heavy than what it really is. Therefore, even scientifically, we're wiring our brain and we're setting it and we're telling ourselves, this is what hard is. This right here is what hard is. So if you experience anything greater than that, it just may crush you. What in your life are you magnifying? And if you were to allow the Spirit to whisper in your ear and tell you, sugar, it ain't that bad. Not getting paid what you think you deserve. Jesus didn't get paid. He got paid something he didn't deserve. I don't know. I just look at our Savior. Now look at how he endured. And if you and I are supposed to be representatives of his endurance, look at how he handled persecution. Look at how he handled lack at times. Look at how he handled two fish and five loaves of bread. Look at how he handled all that he handled. And his focus was on something greater than himself. Shalom. This peace, are you ready for this? You will never experience shalom depending on yourself and making life about yourself. That's not where it's available. Jesus endured the cross because his hope was in us being reconciled to the Father. Look at who he was praying for on the way to the cross. Look at what he was doing on the cross, still thinking about his neighbor. Peace is available under some of the most tumultuous situations, but you're not thinking of you. You're still thinking of the higher call. You're still thinking, God, get me through this so I can be this for this. It's not, Lord, get me through this so I can do me and I can get mine and I can get us. No, it's, Lord, help me through for this. Lord, I consecrate myself for this. Because guess what? This same shalom is a baby of agape. So it's impossible to walk in this shalom without walking in that agape. That peace is a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of what? Love. God is what? Love. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. And you got to understand the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Peace. Joy. There is no more peace in the battle than there was before the battle. ready for this. The fight for this peace doesn't start in the ring. It starts on the quest to the ring. Can I help somebody? I wish if you got a boxing glove emoji that you could pop up in there. Listen, the fight for this peace doesn't start in the ring. It starts on the quest to the ring. It starts in preseason. It starts with your trainer when you're running at 4 a.m. in the morning. When everybody's asleep, you're up praying. I stayed awake at night. That's all right. Jesus will fix it after a while. See, you got to understand that it's not in the ring that I'm trying to get strong. If you get in the ring trying to fight a champion, having not trained for a champion, it's over. Most champions will say this, Michael, no one will work harder than me. Michael Jordan told his college coach as a freshman, I'm going to be the hardest working athlete that has ever come through this place. Hence Michael Jordan, Air. And Effie and Aaliyah and Sion and Grace and Bernadette and Michael, people wonder, why do you guys go so hard? Why do you worship so long? Why do you fast so much? Family want to understand why you fasted 100-something days out of a year. Well, so I can win 360 of them. And win with peace. And on the days that I did experience some defeat, I was still winning on the inside. On the few days out the year I was sick, I still was worshiping on my pillow. I still had hope. I still had my hands lifted up. I didn't stay down as long as my counterparts who don't put in the words of the praise, who don't know my God. My God is good. My God is faithful. He's an all-time God. He's a mighty God. Why wouldn't I praise Him for so long? He endured the cross for me. It starts, you know, in the crushing, in the pressing. That's where you get new wine. It's in the crushing. Yeah. Not everybody want to enjoy the wine, but you don't want to enjoy the process of the, get the wine. Right? Nobody want to do the work that wineries do, that vineyard vine dressers do. But He's making new wine in 2020. Saints, can I talk to you? He's making new wine in 2020. There's a transformation happening on the inside of you that you can't understand this moment, but you will rejoice later. There's a newness. You're going to even look at yourself when you cross over 2021 and you're going to say, man, who is this new man? Who is this new woman? Who is my husband? Oh, my God. Who is this new woman, my wife? Who is this? God will let you be with somebody for 20 years, and right when you think you're getting over it, He's going to give you a new something to wake up next to. God that makes things so new. You get better as you age in the kingdom. I can say it for myself. You can feel it when you're fasting. Sometimes when you're really fasting and when you're really going through humble moments. It's like you'll look in the mirror and be like, some people's perspective, Michael, would be like, oh my God, I can't wait till this is over. Some people's perspective is, man, I'm changing. I never could expect to be the man that I am growing up in the circumstances I grew up in. And I don't care who you are, you can dream something. But when you get there, you wonder why, Michael Jordan, wait a minute, LeBron James, why are you crying if you expected to win a championship? It's one thing to have faith is coming. It's another thing to not need faith no more because you're in it. Jeez. So when you begin to see the new man show up and you no longer need to believe for that new man to show up, when you're believing for certain physical results, when you're believing for that financial breakthrough, when you get to the day where you don't necessarily have to believe for that financial breakthrough anymore, it's a miracle, man. I'm not supposed to be there. I'm not supposed to be this new man. I wasn't supposed to live past 17, 18 years old. I'm not supposed to be a good daddy. I'm not supposed to be married for 16 and counting years. I'm not supposed to have 3 healthy kids. Not supposed to be pastoring a thriving church in the midst of a pandemic. So I challenge you. Is what you're going through taking you out? Woo! Or is what you're going through changing you in such a way that, number one, you're not understanding this new person? Oh my God, bear with me. You're not understanding, Effie, these new requirements. Because change has new requirements. I love the goodness of God because you get to a point where you get to a point where God is changing regardless of if you're aware of your change. Changing you. And you get to a point where you realize, I can't stay the same. I can't hang out with the same people. I can't spend the same. I can't stay home on Sundays anymore. I can't not serve anymore. I can't talk to my kids or my spouse that way anymore. I can't do these things anymore. And I think one of the greatest wrestles we have is that things are changing. Here we go. And they're changing in a way that may seem obscure to us, but they're heading in a direction we've been praying for. But we're not yet ready for what it requires us to be. And all godly change, all godly promotion requires you to walk in a transformed state. And I challenge your mindset. Maybe one of the most difficult parts of this year you to write this down in the form of a question. You'll know when I'll repeat it, but one of the most difficult parts of this year for all of us may be, you ready for this? Who this year has required for me to be to make it through. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to have to change this quick. Are you ready? And this frequently. Because with every pivot, test your character, it tests your patience. tests your love. It tests your kindness. It tests your faith. When every pivot comes, approve it. And I think one of the greatest challenges this year is we've had to grow on the run. I ain't never heard this before, but in supernatural terms, God is crazy. Might this year, God has allowed us to skip the cocoon, which I can imagine could be a little bit more difficult, as obscure as the cocoon could seem. But the cocoon permits me to be still while gaining the strength to fly. And I don't know about you, but half 2020 felt like a full-on crawl. And I believe that God is expediting some things. God is cutting some processes out. But even in a season of cutting processes out, it still is a process. In this season, you've been not able to be in the cocoon to hide your flaws. Some of you have been called out many a times this year, whether by pastor, whether by leaders, or rather just by circumstance, rather by you've been exposed. But I don't know if I'd rather skip the cocoon or spend time in that dark place. That's a thought. Precious is He. Mighty is He. Faithful is He. Ask yourself, write it down, type it. Lord, I know I was. But have I been caught off guard more than I thought I was? And then ask this question. What caught me off guard about 2020? And I want you to go deeper in that question. Not the simple answers. What caught me off guard that I may not be aware of that caught me off guard? But I believe Love Quest. Just had a moment this week. First time this year to look back. I feel like maybe how you know Effie, there's a lot of people celebrating Advent and starting that process, and that's, if I'm not mistaken, this beginning of the clerical year. While the parts of the world is ending the year, there's other parts beginning the next year. So in essence, it doesn't surprise me that this past week, in some sense, ended a year. Like LeBron, I feel like a champ right now. Just you'd be a fool to think that there's not thoughts going through our heads when we're worshiping. Are we gonna make it? Should we close? What should we do? The thoughts, the opinions, stepping out on faith. But what if this don't happen, Lord? I'm gonna do it, but what if I look stupid? What about those who looking for me to fail? What about those who looking for my wife and I to fail? What about those who lie on us and start the rumors about us? But what about those who think we worship too long? What about those, Lord, I want those people to stay. How do we make them happy? And Lord, are we going to have enough money for this? And Lord, what should we do? And then you look back and you just see, man, you just see God carry you. I really do look at this year, and I look at how we flipped the camera for this service today, and I wouldn't miss tonight. It's going to be crazy with just a few of us in here. Love Quest, if you're watching, I want you to know, I want you to think of the oil that's been spilled in this place. The hours of songs that have went up in this place. I want you to think about Monday worship, the disappointing moments, the fights, the frustrations, the Kyles, the 5-hour worship, the rehearsals, and the people, the harvest that's coming in right now have not yet experienced, well, they kind of have, but in the depths that have went forward. I want you to see. And I'll tell you right now, the presence of God is so strong in this building. I love how the Lord is ending this year. And he's saying, Love Quest, I'm so pleased with you guys. I just want to show you guys, I don't need you in this building for me to live here anymore. I long for you to be in this building. Love Quest, this building in your life will never be the same after 2020. By the boatload. You write it down. There will be physical healings. financial healing. We will see mental illness broken. We will see miracles. These are the days of Elijah. The mantles that God is trusting on this house love quest. Right now, you're just praying with me. Just pray with me. It was in the extension of the fast that broke something. Caleb, if you're watching, I'm proud of you. You are powerful. Not only broken things off of your life personally, but it's also broken some generational things out of your bloodline. There's healing, not only physically, but emotionally, that is happening. Don't ever lose your goofiness. Don't ever lose your sense of humor. I declare an untouchable confidence rises in you. I declare the true essence of your name begins to play out in a mighty way. If I'm Joshua, I'm glad to have spied out the promised land. Without your drum playing, we would not be able to go into the enemy's camp as we have. And the miracles that we will see together across this world will be astounding. The Lord has allowed some of your in the way you thought they would happen to die. But in the way he will bring them to pass is going to blow your mind. Quest was closed this year strong. I only got through 4 slides. Amen. Which is awesome because I got stuff for later. You don't want to miss tonight.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day, and in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.